I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 1 and then 13 to 24. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then down to verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.
I too would like to say good evening and welcome everyone to the Lord's house. I continue to desire an interest in your prayers that the Spirit would meet us here tonight as we work through the message. The title of tonight's message is Crucify the Works of the Flesh, and it's the third letter in the word victory that we've been going down through, victory in Jesus. Just a couple things before we get started. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And if we're going to crucify the flesh tonight, we can't leave him any room. We've got to deal with him. And, you know, I worked as a mechanic right out of high school, and every spring you'd have people bring their lawnmowers in and this thing just won't start. And what happened, the gas was left in, and over winter it would condensate some, or somehow moisture would get in the gas. And guess what? A lawnmower will not run when there's water in the gas. And the same spiritually. You cannot have spiritual victory. You cannot live a good, godly, spiritual life when you're mixing the flesh with it. It just don't work. Key aspects of making no provision. Avoid temptation. Actively avoid situations, websites, or relationships that trigger sinful desires. Self-discipline. Proactively set boundaries in daily life, such as restricting social media or media consumption. Focus on Christ. Instead of planning for fleshly indulgence, fill life with spiritual pursuits, prayer, and meditating on Scripture. Remove excuses. Do not set yourself up for failure by thinking you can handle temptation, but rather flee it. I thought that was some good admission. It's not mine original, but I found it anyway. So as we think of crucifying the works of the flesh, if we don't overcome the flesh, it will overtake us. It will, and it'll get us in trouble. And you won't have victory until the works of the flesh are crucified. Thank our brother for starting us there in Galatians chapter 5. We just a comment or two on verse 1. The thought of standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He delivered us from bondage. He delivered us from sin. He delivered us from the ways of Satan. And Paul is encouraging us here, keep your life that way. But it takes perseverance. It takes diligence to live a life that is not influenced by the world. And that's why he warns us, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But live your life for Jesus. Live in freedom. Do the things and say the things that would please him. We want to start at verse 13 and just sort of work our way down through. Actually, we're going to start at verse 19. 13 sort of backs up what verse 1 was saying there. But there's the verse 17, I just like to touch on that a little bit. I want us to realize that there is a war for your soul. Jesus and God want it, but Satan also wants to get you to fall so he can captivate your soul. So I want us to make us aware of the battle between the flesh and the spirit, and just encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Let the things of this world alone, and the fleshly desires that Satan would try to get you to stumble or fall. Don't mess with them, but rather let the Spirit lead out in your life and war against these works of the flesh. Verse 19, I think in general, the whole verse deals with impure and wrong sexuality, the different things that are mentioned there: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And I want to stress tonight, sexuality is good. It was designed by God to be between one woman and one man inside of a holy covenant called marriage. It's a good thing. God designed it. It's a gift to married. And I want to stress, anything outside, any of these indulgence outside of marriage is wrong. It's sin. Ephesians 5:3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 5 says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And if we look at Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, this would include married or unmarried. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart. So I want to shout out a warning tonight to men. Respect the women around you. Respect your wife. God gave you your wife to look at, not every other woman that you might see. Because Jesus says here, to look at that woman and to lust after her, you done committed adultery in your heart. It is a serious offense to go against God's perfect plan. And I just plead with every male in divine presence here tonight, stay away. Stay away from a site that's questionable on your phone or your computer. Because it's Satan's devilish way to try and get a man to fall. But even as you look at an advertisement, men are so corrupt that they put stuff that pops up that shouldn't be there. Be careful. Guard your eyes. Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes that I would not sin against the maid or something to that effect. And I think it would do us all good as men to make that same covenant. Pornography today is a serious problem in society. Pornography today is a serious problem in the church. I'm not sure if you realize that or not. The church is not exempt. It's horrifying. You hear the stories you hear coming out of the plain Anabaptist circles of people addicted to pornography. The industry is yielding millions and millions of dollars. So as we go through each one of these tonight, I constructed a wannabe cross, but as we move on here, we're just going to take all sexual immorality. We're going to nail it to the cross tonight. We're going to crucify it so we can get a better grip on the things that would try and tear us down. As we move on to idolatry. And again, tonight, our theme of the message, our point of the message is to crucify these works of the flesh. Idolatry is the worship of idols. My question is, who or what are we worshiping? And to bring that closer home, who or what is closer to me than God? Folks, tonight, that's an idol. Anything that is closer that gets between me and my God, me and my Jesus, is an idol. Is it the brand new house? Is it the brand new car? Is it the MVP of the ball game? Sometimes we work so hard for these things, we don't have time or energy left for God. I challenge us tonight. It's not wrong to have things. The Bible tells us to occupy till He comes. We need things. But don't let these things get between you and God. Idolatry has no place in the Christian's life, so we're going to crucify it too. We're going to sticky note it to the cross, right? The next one is witchcraft. I just wrote down basically it's the worship of the devil. And I want to plead with the youth here tonight. Don't get involved in the rock and roll music. I want to plead with the adults here tonight. You would be astonished at how many Anabaptist men listen to country music. Guess I'm putting my head on the chopping block tonight. But what is country music? It's nothing but drinking beer, whoring around with the neighbor's woman, the neighbor's wife. Yeah. Please. Listen to good godly music. From the lyrics to the beat, I'm going to suggest this straight from the pit of hell. We need to guard ourselves from these things that Satan uses to get us, to drag us down. I want to throw out the warning against Halloween activities. Folks, it's the devil's holiday. Oh, yes, it's fun when the children can get candy and this and that, but to my understanding, just between here and Chambersburg, as you go through the Caledonia Park, there's stories that there's girls there sacrificed to Satan from the Satan worshipers in this area. It's real, folks. Satan's demons are just as real as can be. I want to challenge us. Let's not engage in anything that would give a chance for Satan's demons to enter our lives. I know there's different games I admonish you to be careful with, but we do not want to give Satan any edge or any chance to get into our lives. Witchcraft has no place in the Christian life. So we're going to crucify it tonight. The next one is hatred. Hatred is an intense dislike or ill feeling. I don't believe it's a feeling that should be in the child of God. But I'm going to confess to you tonight, sometimes there's some situations that arise among us that it's easier to hate than love. 1 John. Sometimes it's the easy way out, but it's not the way of God out. 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And that's how it works. Hatred is a nasty thing. We need the love of God in our hearts so we can love the unlovable. I'm going to suggest love is of God and hatred is of the devil. So tonight, hatred has no place in the Christian's life. We're going to crucify it tonight. The next one is variance, which basically means as a means to argue. Ephesians 4 would admonish us Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 6 says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So I believe the mind of God tonight would be that we would all be in the same mind. We would all mind the same things, because it says one God, one Father, it's in us all, it's through us all. So that would indicate to me that God would want us to be in agreement. God would want us to be a people that get along rather than quarrel. The Bible calls us to be peacemakers. I didn't get these all wrote out, so I'm just going to have to write them now quick. But variance, quarrel, debates, just out to get the other guy. We want to crucify it tonight too. The next one we want to look at is wrath. Wrath is extreme anger. And this is not original with me, but another brother has shared this already. If you look at the word anger, it's one letter away from danger. And if you've ever seen someone in a fit of rage, they're a dangerous person. And I'm going to suggest tonight that anger is just as dangerous as intoxication. You know, when a man drinks and gets intoxicated, he don't know what he's doing. And you get someone in a fit of anger, they do things that they would not normally do. So the warning tonight is, the Bible says we're to be angry and sin not. Many dangerous things happen when a person is angry. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of a fool." That's strong, but that's the word of God. That's how God feels about anger and how we deal with it. All right, extreme anger. I don't think it should be a part of the Christian's life. So we want to crucify it tonight. The next one is strife. Basically, it's a bitter disagreement. It's conflict. And these are ingredients that hinder victory in our lives. That's why I'm looking at this tonight. We want victory in Jesus. And these are elements here that's not going to bring that. The trouble with these things here, these works of the flesh, it makes the flesh feel good. It makes the flesh feel like I'm doing something. But mostly it's against God, if we're honest about it. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 17 through 21. "He that passeth by and meditateth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." Did you ever do that? It's not a good situation. A dog don't like it. "As a madman who easteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, I am not in sport. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." You see, again, this is a work of the flesh because it goes against God. God says, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. This is directly contrast to what God wants. And it's amazing to me. We got an outside boiler recently, and if y'all know how they work, the fan blows, the fire burns, and then makes the heat, and the fan goes out. I marvel, I look in there different times, and I think, oh, the fire went out. But guess what? It calls for heat, the fan kicks on, and before long, the fire is going again. So, can I suggest to you that we should be spiritual firemen, putting the fires out instead of fanning it and keeping it burning and keeping the conflict or... You know, situations arise in life. You all live long enough, they come. They're unavoidable. I've said different times, where there's people, there's going to be problems. But I think the difference is, how do you and I as Christians handle them problems? God has the recipe. God will help us through them. We can't avoid the problems. We're still on this side of heaven. But as they come, God gives us the recipe. God will help us. So tonight, I don't think strife is going to bring victory in our lives. So let's crucify it also. All of these are ingredients that work against victory and will keep us from victory. And if not conquered, if we don't overcome these, it's going to cost us the kingdom of God. It's going to cost us heaven. And we've all heard the saying, we don't want to miss heaven for the world. We don't want to miss heaven for these things of life that bog us down. When you get back here to our text in Galatians. We want to turn the page a little bit. It says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." That's the answer tonight. The answer to overcoming these problems is to have Jesus living in our hearts to give us victory over sin. There's one more that I would like to look at real quickly before we move on. And it's a very dangerous one. Its name is called bitterness. And if you and I, as God's children, aren't careful, the situations in life that happen that we don't like, whatever that may be, usually it may be somebody talking about you or somebody calling you a name or etc., but it's so easy to get bitter about the situations around us. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man..." Well, there's our verse. Let's back up. Verse 14. "Follow peace with all men, and holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And this goes a little bit like I was saying the other evening. You know, when you're weeding the garden and you pull a weed out, sometimes you pull a stalk or two of corn or a stalk or two of pea out with it. That's just how bad this bitterness thing is. And you know, it's troubling to me, it's concerning to me as you think about it, how many sins, now bear with me, but how many sins sprout from the root of bitterness? Bitterness can cause jealousy. It can cause envy. It can cause a lot of bad things. And that's why the Bible admonishes us here. Diligently search your life. So bitterness cannot have a place in the victorious Christian life. So we're going to crucify it too. In closing, the answer to overcoming these problems is to have Jesus living in our hearts to give us victory over sin. We'd like to real quickly look at Colossians chapter 3. Actually, times. It basically is a parallel to the scripture here in Galatians. But it does tell us, let's turn there real quickly. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. Well, let's start at verse 10. It says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection." Again, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And I'm going to suggest here tonight, I know again it sounds pretty strong, but if you have any of these items in your life that is not crucified, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to have peace because these are going to bring you nothing but turmoil. It's so important that we nail these things to the cross. And we need to make Jesus and his ways reality in our lives. As we weed the works of the flesh out of our lives, the fruit of the Spirit can grow and flourish. But in contrary, the Spirit cannot grow if it is choked out by the weeds of the flesh. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Here's the answer, folks. Philippians 3, starting in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though it I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count all not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in God, in Christ Jesus. Tonight there is resurrection power available to each one of us, that we can have the strength and we can have the ability to nail these sins and these works of the devil to the cross. Resurrection power is a divine transformative energy of God, rooted in the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and is available to believers today to overcome sin, despair, and spiritual death. It represents a present living reality, often described as, I can't pronounce that word, but it says in parentheses, dynamite, designed to bring new life, hope, and victory over personal brokenness and past failures. The key aspects of the resurrection power are active transformation. It enables believers to change, offering power to live in obedience to God and replace brokenness with wholeness. Present availability. It is not merely a past event, but a daily resource that helps believers overcome, offering spiritual, mental, and physical strength before the second coming. It's freedom from bondage. This power cancels the hold of past, including sins and regrets, offering freedom from fear and darkness. Hope and victory. It brings life to mortal bodies and ensures victory over the challenges of life, as highlighted in 1 Corinthians 15. How do you experience this? Deepen your relationship with Jesus. Prioritize daily prayer, worship, and study of the Word. Surrender and trust. Acknowledge the need for God's strength. As Paul emphasized, knowing Christ through both the power of his resurrection. 1 Corinthians verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is only possible tonight through Jesus and his resurrection power. You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom. That I'm dressed in your royalty, your Holy Spirit lives in me. And I see my past has been redeemed, the new has come. Freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom, my chains are gone. Freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom, hallelujah. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Now I am no longer bound by sin and darkness. Tonight, if you would like that to be reality in your life, as we sing an invitation hymn, won't you stand Again, tonight, I'd like to open the invitation up if you don't know Jesus and you want to make him your personal Savior. You want to make him Lord of your life, Stan. Maybe you're struggling with one of these things and you need power to nail it on the cross. Stan, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. You're showing your brothers and sisters, I need help. Will you pray for me? You know, too often we're embarrassed or maybe ashamed, but I've said this already. When we're at the line on Judgment Day, we're not going to care what people think. We're going to want to make sure we make it through the pearly gates, right? What shall we sing? 84 in the green book.